Welcome back. We're in Esther chapter 4. Let's go. Esther chapter 4. What's going on here? We've got King Xerxes and Haman. Haman is one of the high officials, like a prime minister or something to King Xerxes. And Haman did not like the fact that Mordecai would not bow down to him. He then found out that Mordecai was a Jew. So he said, you know what? To get even with you, I'm going to exterminate all the Jewish people in all of Persia. We're going to take you out. And that's it. And he had the king pass a decree. The king signed this, so he can't take it back. Back then, when you put a law into place, you couldn't revoke it. It's done. And Mordecai, of course, is very upset about this. And so here we go in verse 4:1 of Esther. When Mordecai learned all that had happened, he tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes and went out into the midst of the city. So he tore his clothes, he put on sackcloth and ashes. This is a symbolic of mourning. They would do this back in that culture. Someone would pass away. They would do this as a sign of mourning. No one has died yet, but millions are going to die. So he's going ahead and mourning that. And it says he goes out in the midst of the city. So he's no longer hiding the fact that he's a Jew. Before he did, he made that a private thing and not a public thing. Testimony. That is not what God wants. God's best for you is to publicly declare that Jesus is Lord and Savior. And if you can't go out and declare that Jesus is Lord and Savior, then you really need to dig down, think deeply, pray deeply, talk to God, and find out if you're actually saved, right? Because when you are reborn, you have a regenerated spirit. The Holy Spirit literally comes inside of you, indwells you, lives inside of you, and will never leave you on this earth. He lives in you. Yes, that means even when you're doing the things that you should not be doing, when you're yelling, complaining, you're jealous, you're envious, you're angry, you're covetous, you're adulterous, you're looking at porn, you're looking at another woman, another man, whatever it is, the Holy Spirit is inside of you and having to endure all of that. Right? But the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You still live in this flesh-filled body, and you're going to have those temptations. The key is to conquer them one at a time, overcome them through the power of Jesus. And that outward testimony is going to come when you really see, I have been saved. I've been saved for a purpose. I want to live out that purpose. I have been reborn. I am a new creation. The old is gone. The new is here. You will want to tell people about it. That baptism is not required for salvation. It is simply an outward sign of an inward change. Right? It's telling the world, this is who I am now. Even if you were justified and got saved 10 years ago, but you never publicly got baptized, it's the time to go out and say, this is me, kind of saying, the old is gone, the new is here. My life is going to be different from this point forward. Maybe it's already started to be different, but baptism is not part of salvation. Just brought that up as I was reading it in reading Mark 16, I think it was today. So that was on my mind. All right, so it says, Mordecai, he cried out with a loud and bitter cry. He was as far as the front of the king's gate, for no one might enter the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. So he wasn't dressed appropriately to get in the compound of the king. Verse 3, and in every province where the king's command and decree arrived, there was great mourning among the Jews, with fasting, weeping, and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. So they find out, we're going to be killed. There's this law that says everyone should go around killing the Jewish people. You'll get the spoils of the war. You'll get paid for your efforts. And they're freaking out. Notice that they start fasting, weeping, wailing. The weeping and wailing is understandable, right? They lay in sackcloth and ashes. That's different to our culture, but we could understand that, right? That's mourning and that's fear. But this fasting, it's interesting that we don't see anywhere so far in this entire book the mention of God, the mention of fasting, or the mention of prayer. Were they doing this? I don't think they probably were, right? I don't think they were fasting before. I don't think they were praying, right? Kind of the dedicated Jewish people had already gone back because King Cyrus had let them and helped them finance the rebuilding of the temple, so they went back to Israel to do that. The majority of the Jewish people remain in Persia, probably because they were comfortable. They didn't want to risk their finances. They didn't want to go back to the unknown because it had been 70 years, and now Israel was rather unknown to them. that were assimilated to the culture in Persia, and they probably weren't fasting, they probably weren't praying. But now all of a sudden they're like, oh, something's wrong, we got to do this. Now, I see this all the time in America, all the time, where people all of a sudden, they don't go to church, they don't pray, they don't read the Bible. Maybe they're CEOs, meaning Christmas and Easter only, they go to church twice a year. And this is not pointing the finger. This is just, if you're one of them, I want you to think deeply about this. If you know someone in this situation, encourage them to get into the Word, to get into church often, right? Because what will happen is something big will come up. They'll have a big exam. They'll be up for a promotion. There'll be layoffs at their company that's coming up, and they're really freaked out about getting laid off. So all of a sudden, they start praying. Maybe they also start fasting. It's that kind of that last moment, that genie in the bottle, like, oh, if I do this, then God will do this, right? God, if you just get me out of this situation, then I promise to go to church every Sunday. God, if you just get me out of this situation, then I promise to pray to you. If you just get me out of this situation, I promise to stop drinking. Whatever that, you know, promise is, God doesn't want your promises like that. He wants your heart. And when he has your heart, you're going to want to pray, and you're probably going to want to fast from time to time. So let's make sure that we're a people who pray, read the Bible, have that joy, tell others about it, about Jesus and the Bible and the Word and the great news of the gospel, not just when times get tough, right? Let's not treat God as some genie in the bottle that we go to when times are tough, but when we go to him every day in prayer, in desire, with joy, with hope, and knowing and trusting that if he doesn't give us the answer that we want, that he will give us the endurance, the patience, and the peace to still see him, to know him, to grow into him even more, right? That's what we want. We want to grow into Jesus through the pain. We want to work through the pain, not avoid the pain. You don't keep your kid from all the pain that they could ever do. Well, maybe you are, right? Maybe you're that helicopter parent or are that helicopter parent, and you never want your kid to get hurt. You never want them to get anything less than an A in school. You never want them to get, you know, sit on the bench in a sport. You want everything to be perfect for them. But guess what? At some point, it won't be. And they need to have life skills and godly, biblical skills to know how to work through those. So, verse 4. So Esther's maids and eunuchs came and told her, and the queen was deeply distressed. Of course she's distressed. She's also Jewish, and now all of her people are about to be wiped out, and then that's probably going to include her because she is a Jew. Then she sent garments to clothe Mordecai and take his sackcloth away from him, but he would not accept them. So she wanted Mordecai to be able to go in the grounds of the king's palace, but he couldn't because he was wearing sackcloth. So she sent him clothes and was like, hey, tell him to put these on so that he can enter the gates. They took him the clothes, and he was like, no, I'm not putting those on. I'm mourning. My people are about to be killed. I am going to mourn. Verse 5, then Esther called Hathach, one of the king's eunuchs, who he had appointed to attend her, and she gave him a command concerning Mordecai to learn what this was. So Hathach went out to Mordecai in the city square that was in front of the king's gate, and Mordecai told him all that had happened to him and the sum of money that Haman had promised to pay into the king's treasuries to destroy the Jews. Verse 8. He also gave him a copy of the written decree for the destruction, which was given at Shushan, that he might show it to Esther and explain it to her, and that he might command her to go into the king to make supplication to him and plead before him for her people. So Hathach returned and told Esther the words of Mordecai. So there's this go-between, right? They couldn't text back then. They couldn't call. They didn't have iPhones. Communication was different and slower. So they've got this in-between person who's going between Esther and Mordecai with these messages. Verse 10. Then Esther spoke to Hathach and gave him a command for Mordecai. Quote, all the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that any man or woman who goes into the inner court to the king, who has not been called, he has but one law. Put all to death, except the one to whom the king holds out the golden scepter, that he may live. Yet I myself have not been called to go into the king these 30 days. So they told Mordecai Esther's words. 13. And Mordecai told them to answer Esther, do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? What a big verse for such a time as this. You've heard this in plays and books and stuff over time, right? What a wonderful verse. For such a time as this. 15. We'll go back and talk about this. 15. Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, "Go, gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days. Night or day, my maids and I will fast likewise, and so I will go to the king, which is against the law, and if I perish, I perish." So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther commanded him. So there was a law back in that day that you couldn't enter the king's court. And if you did, you're going to be put to death, unless he holds the golden scepter and points it out to you. Right? So she's saying, I'm going to go before the king. I'm going to plead on behalf of the Jewish people that he would save them from this destruction, from this awful decree that he made. And Mordecai is saying, no, 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 no. That's not going to work. You're going to die too. And I think she's got to know in the back of her mind, wait, the last queen who went against the king, King Vashti, who simply said, no, I'm not going to be paraded around in your drunkenness to your buddies to show off how sexy I am. And she was put out. And now Queen Esther is probably thinking, the last time a queen disobeyed, dishonored, didn't listen to, didn't follow the rules of the king and the office, lost everything. And I'm probably going to lose everything too, but I'm willing to risk it. And she had her and her other ladies fast for 3 days, which is awesome. And again, they probably hadn't done this before. They probably hadn't prayed. I don't even know if they were Jewish, which is really interesting. But it says, my maids and I will fast likewise. So they're listening to her. These are people who are likely under her control. And they're fasting, I guess, with her. So I don't know if she just asked them to, forced them to. They were like, hey, this sounds cool. Let's try it. But whatever it is, there's this big fasting going on before she's going to go into the king's court, knowing that there's a really, really high probability that she's going to die. So what do you need to do? Or what can you do in 2024? Well, right now, this is actually New Year's Day. That may be uncomfortable. That may be different than what society expects, than what your family expects. But you know it's the right thing. Is it simply reading your Bible daily? Is it letting people see you read your Bible, knowing that they may start pointing the finger or talking to you differently or skipping over you for promotions or firing you or being mean to you? Is it telling people about Jesus, knowing that you may be rejected? Is it living biblical values, voting biblical values, knowing that you could be rejected? Step out in faith. That's what Vashti's about to do here in this story. So I think one of the best applications that I see, we've had several applications here, but maybe this last one, which is just stepping out in faith. May this be the year that you step out in faith, not for yourself, but for the sake of others, for the sake of glorifying Jesus. No longer being quiet about who Jesus is to you. No longer keeping it to yourself. No longer keeping it private like Esther and Mordecai did for so long. But coming out publicly like baptism, but daily, and saying, this is who I am. My worldview is biblically based. My values are biblically based. I read the Bible. I pray in public, I pray aloud, I tell people about Jesus, I text verses to people, I text people about how, asking how I can pray for them. I tell that person, that waitress, that waiter, that person who delivers Instacart about Jesus, very as in-depth as you want to or as simple as you want to, right? Jesus loves you. Hey, thank you for helping me today. How can I pray for you tonight? Can I pray for you right now? Very simple thing. Step out in faith. God wants to see us all, myself included, blossom as we step out in faith and proclaim his great name to this world. We live in a lost and dying world, and people are dying around us and not knowing Jesus, and that is a problem, especially when we were put there for such a time as this to be able to tell someone about Jesus. May we do that today. Lord, help us to step out in faith and to be bold and to proclaim you above all names, that you are more important than anyone or anything in our life, that we would be thinking about things on above and heavenly focus, not on things of the earth. Lord, help us to love you enough to tell people about you and be willing to live for you. I know many of us are willing to die for you, but are we willing to live for you? Help us to do that this day. Amen. This podcast brought to you in part by the Portfolio Protection Store, where smart investors go to protect their life savings from stock market losses. Visit our website to register for our webinar, theportfolioprotectionstore.com. The webinar is about portfolio protection and safe money ideas for ages 50 plus. Visit theportfolioprotectionstore.com. Located in Austin, Texas, license number 288-7886.